I'm going to go to Romans 6. And the scriptures pretty much explain the truth that each of us need to die in order to truly live. And the evidence of our death is in our changed life. If you have not died, then you cannot live. If your yesterdays aren't indeed your yesterdays, buried in the old man that was, then you truly are not alive today. No matter what you might speak to anybody, the evidence is the walk that you have on a daily basis. Now, I know many people, and I say this, and it's sorrowful to me, that say they know God, and say that they've known God for years and years, and yet I do not see the evidence of their death and the beginning of their life. And I'm here to tell you that if you have died in Christ, then your life has changed, and it becomes new and fresh, and the evidence is that new life. Father, help me this morning. Romans chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There are people that have a wrong thought about salvation. That is, they can do whatever they want, and that God will just forgive them. I'm here to tell you that you will not abuse God and get away with it. God is not your red-headed stepchild. He is God. And you must acknowledge this in your life, that if indeed you know God, your life will change. Because when you step into His presence, everything about you changes. So it says, shall we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If you have that attitude to this day, you are not yet saved. Because you have not yet entered into relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with somebody and you love somebody, certainly you do not plan on causing them pain and grief all their life. It says, certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Now, at this point, I want to just bring you a disclaimer. We are all going to sin occasionally because of the weakness of our flesh. We're going to make mistakes, is what I'm talking about. Errors. But we are not going to live a lifestyle of that error. Amen? Those that were dope fiends will be dope fiends no more. Amen? Those that were promiscuous will be promiscuous no more. Those that were alcoholics will be alcoholics no more. Those that were thieves will quit stealing and start working. Are you hearing me? And that is the evidence of the fact that you have met the living God. If that does not change in your life, then you must question the fact of whether you really meant it or not, or if you really met God or not. A lot of people go to church and get some kind of emotional feeling. The songs are good. The music is good. The amps are so high, your ears and nose bleed. You feel like you've been elevated. But in fact, you can go to a rock and roll concert and get the same thing. That is not the Spirit of the Lord. Are you hearing me today? I'm telling you that the evidence is your life changes. You get it? That is the evidence of your salvation, is a change in work and life. It does not mean that you do not make a mistake occasionally. It does mean you no longer live a lifestyle of sin. Amen? Before you met the Lord, you could claim ignorance. But you see, if you love God, you serve him. And that is the bottom line. It says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? What does that mean? Your old man died. Those desires for things that you used to do went away. They were buried with him. If this is not evident in your life, then perhaps you must re-examine what you think you went through. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, it's like I gave that sermon last night. You've heard it before. You gotta be born again. You gotta be born again. You gotta be born again. That is the evidence of having died. Is that a new life comes from it. I sat there and I told people before that when I truly got saved, I walked out in my yard and I watched the squirrels run up and down trees. And my version was, oh wow. How neat. Does that mean that the squirrels just got there? No. It means that I had been born again. I would sit down and watch the ants in a trail. Oh wow. Look at that. I hear the birds sing. And I sit there and go, how beautiful. You see, the fact is that old callous no good double bad dog had died. And God had come into my life and I had really started to live in harmony with the things around me instead of in rejection of things. I looked at people that were hurting and I started to see the fact of their hurting instead of wanting to hurt them. Did you catch that? Before, where I was more likely to kick a person that was down, now I was more likely to help a person to get up. To where I was used to ignore those people that were scumballs beneath my scumball level. Now I turned around and cared about them and wanted them to show them the truth of the new life that I was experiencing in my home. I'm telling you, the birds chirped and I paid attention. The squirrels ran and I was thrilled. The ants was a new exploration where I wanted to follow the trail. Just to see how they really live. You see, that is the newness of knowing God that happens in a person's life that is born again. And if you have not yet experienced that kind of thing, then it is time that you do. Because when that happens, that is when the old man has died. That is when your addictions go away. That is when your stealing stops. That is when your mouth quits running. Because you're new. And no longer old. And everything is fresh and exciting for you. It says in verse 5, for if, you better circle this word because it is so important. Whenever you see a word like that in your Bible, there is a hinge in that verse. If, it means if this has happened. If this is true, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, which means that you have died, you double bad, scandalous young man and woman. You see, I'm not one to play with people. I believe there is definition in the Lord. I believe that the Lord has a new life for you, but you can't game him to get it. You will operate underneath his standards, not your own. He is God, you are not. It says, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, you have got to be willing to crucify your old life totally. Did you hear totally? Totally. In order to walk in the newness of the life that he wants to give you. Amen? Are you getting this? I no longer do what I want to do. I do what I'm supposed to do. You hear me? It's like before I used to work for maybe, and I mean, I worked hard. I'm a hard worker. I never did. Everybody got their money out of me. You know what I mean? I'd work 6 or 8 months and I'd take off for 4 or 6 months a year. Amen. I made good money. I worked when I worked and I played when I played. And of course I worked and played at the same time. But I saved money and then I'd just go run amok. But you see, I did everything wrong. My whole life was wrong. I had no real substance in my life. Party! Yeah! Daytona! Ooh! Are you getting it? Let's go to New Orleans for a while. I was telling Jim that one day me and a few fellas hopped on a motorcycle and we did 13,000 miles in 6 weeks. Of course, I can't remember much of it. But like the old man would say, I know I had fun. Are you hearing me? Now, how responsible is that? What kind of substance is that life? How could I say, if I did that today, that I know and love God when there's so much work to be done for God? My life changed. It says, if you have died, then surely you will live with Him. So the first thing that happened in my life is step by step by step by step, I made my old man to die so that I could live fully in God. Are you hearing me? It didn't all happen overnight. It wasn't just something that, you know, I hear a lot of that, I was delivered thing. Well, let me tell you, a lot of things changed. But I had to get delivered from my perverted brain more than anything else. I needed deliverance. And it wasn't like I just woke up and one day I was just right. It took years of working on getting right. Amen? And by the way, I didn't mean to say that I'd arrived. There are some days my brain still tweaks in the wrong direction. Amen? But my purpose of my heart is to do right. You understand? The purpose of my life is to live right. I've got to still reach inside and take captive that imagination and throw it out now and then. It's going to always be like that to some degree, just less and less and less as I draw closer and closer and closer unto Him. Amen? So it says, if we have died, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know, lust is a slavery. It is a bondage. Amen? It is something that you can't get away from. You are in chains. Drugs is a bondage. The lie is you paint a pretty picture on it. Oh, well, it's fun. Oh, I had a good time. But it is chains with 1-inch length that hold you to a spot where you have no freedom at all. Same thing with alcohol. The same thing with perversity. Amen? It is all bondage and chains that hold you where you cannot soar like an eagle. If you are on dope, if you are drunk, or if you are in lust all the time, you've got to have that stuff you need to perpetrate that in your life. You can't go too far without getting loaded up with this or that, or else you cannot live while you're on vacation. I feel for people that have addictions a true sadness in my heart because they can't go nowhere and enjoy nothing. And that's why they lie to themselves and tell themselves that they're having fun in that drug or in that thing. But that is not freedom. That is chains, slavery, and bondage. How many people can recognize that? If you're a heroin addict, man, you're almost tripping if you don't have your morning wake-up call. And if you're a real juicer, you have that warm beer or whatever sitting by the bed, so when you get up, you can get a little hair of the dog to start your day right. Amen? And then once you start smoking them rocks, you're really almost totally having an anxiety attack at the moment you think you're going to run out. And you're ready to kill somebody in order to get one more rock. How can that be a life? That is not a life. That is slavery and bondage. And yet people say, well, I get to do my own thing. No, you are a puppet with strings, and the devil pulls all your strings. Are you hearing me? You aren't free. You are in true bondage and slavery, and the devil pulls your strings, and you got no say. And he doesn't even love you. He hates your stinking gut, and he wants to drag you into the pit. And there you go, following him in life and saying, oh, but I get to do what I want to do. No, you get to do what he tells you to do. It says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. This is so important. You must grasp this. You have got to die in order to be free. You got to put aside your old thoughts, your old ways, your old life to walk in freedom. There is no other way. You are not going to do it halfway without sliding right back to where you came from. You got to give God your whole life. All of it, every piece and every part, including the very way that you think. Being renewed in the mind, so that when you make decisions, instead of them being on impulse, you go to your Bible and say, help me, Lord, to make a right decision. And even though it looks wrong, you do it anyway, because you know that God is always right. Are you hearing a difference in lifestyles now? Are you starting to see the truth? That's why the Word of God is so important that you learn it. Because in it is the truth you've been looking for all your life. You cannot be the one you used to be, not even a resemblance of it. You must be who God made you to be so that you can have the freedom in it. In what, Dominic? In that life God always meant for you to be. You see, God never meant for me to be the things that I was. God always destined me to be the things that I am today. And there is no comparison between what I was and what I am. And in your life, it is the same. What you used to be cannot be no more, because that never was you that he would have you to be. It is something that you became as you went through life and fell into all those other things. You see, God has a destiny for you. It was specifically built for you. You know, if people could get a hold of the fact that you are special, that God puts you together in such a way for one purpose, but it's His, then you would come closer to Him than ever before, because you'd quit thinking that you got the plan. Because in the end, God's the man with the plan. There are many things that you will do that you will not like. Submission, obedience, being humble. hard things for people. But if you don't submit and learn to be humble, and of course be obedient, you will never find a path that leads to your new life. I tell people all the time, living life and serving God is like driving down a mountain road. You're in a car and you know that you gotta go, so you put your foot on the accelerator, but you're blind and you cannot see. And how many people have ever been on a mountain road? There's S-turns everywhere. There's hidden valleys that just come upon you. There is all of a sudden where you're either going to run into a rock wall or you're going to go over a cliff. And the path that God has chosen for you is only seen through the eyes of Christ, and people that are natural cannot see. But you got to not get in the car and even put your foot on the accelerator. You've got to get in the back seat and let God drive your car. Because He knows when to go forward, when to stop, when to go left, when to go right. And it's not your job to take direction of it. It's your job to let Him have the car and the direction in your life. Because if you do not, not only will you not get to your destiny, but you will crash on the way because you don't know where you're going. Sometimes in the Lord, I sit there and I work so hard. I really try. God help me all the time. I try to hear His voice. I'm always listening. Always listening. Always listening. And I know when I hear it mostly, because it's not what I want to hear. He's usually telling me to do something I really don't want to do. He's trying to get me to take on more responsibility. He's trying to get me to die to these things in my life so that He can pour more into me. Seems like He never wants to give me a break. But you know, on the other side where I stand today, I am happier than ever before. I have more responsibility than ever before. But I have more joy than I've ever had in my life. What happened? I got in the back seat of the car. And I'm always asking questions like, why this God or why that God? He just looks at me and smiles. You'll see, son. Someday. He never answers. He just wants me to stay in the back seat of the car. And you know what? I've never been damaged on that ride. I've never been hurt on that ride. Any damage I've gone through has been damage I did to myself because I wanted to get out of the car when he was driving. Amen? How many people can relate to that? Amen. You don't want him to, you want him to stop, but he isn't stopping. So you get out the car and it's boom, 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 boom. And then sooner or later you get up and you're trying to run after the car to catch it again. Why? Because as soon as you get out, you know you blew it. Amen? Yeah, I know you can relate to that. So it says, now if we died with Christ, in verse 8, we believe that we shall also live with Him. If you make the decision to die, it's because you know you're going to live. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. So you die. Now you got to live. For what? Not for you, for God. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, the sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. What it is telling you right here, and you better get this. This is so important that you get this. That's why I don't listen to your lies. It says that if you have been born again, if you have given your life to God, then you have dominion over sin. It is under your feet. You put your foot on it. It no longer possesses you. Unless you desire it still in your life to feed your flesh. Did you understand that? It does not have dominion over you. Before you were born again, maybe you were in that rut because you didn't understand the potential of who you are. But once you know God, and if you fall back into it, it is because you wanted to fall back into it. You like that feeling. You like that emotion more than you like the presence of God in your life. Did you hear me? That's why I talk to backsliders all the time. No, you still like your dope better than you like God. No, you still like your alcohol better than you like God. No, you still like your lust, that sin that you have inside of your heart, more than you like God. Are you getting that? Because the Bible says, and the Bible is always true, that the Bible says you have dominion over sin in your life through Christ. So don't come up to me and tell me she made me do it. Or he, you know, he made me do it. Or, well, you know, it was right there. And I happened to walk by. Are you getting this? You see, you got to quit believing the lie and start walking in the truth. Amen? You plan your demise because you love stuff and things more than you love God. And anything else that you might say is a lie, because the Word of God is always true. And men, all men, are liars. You understand? See how deep this verse is? This Bible is so good. It breaks down the lies in our lives and gives us the truth. The truth is, if you are born again, you have dominion over sin in your life. You know what? Before, when I got saved, and I wasn't married, and how many people know that people that aren't married go through things? Well, they do. You can all ignore it, but I couldn't, because I was having problems. No, really, I was. Big problems in my life. And the solution was to draw closer and closer and closer unto God. And develop that relationship in my life above all. And you know, I wouldn't even talk to girls. Because I couldn't talk rightly to them. Because my mind was not yet thinking correctly. Amen? And one day, I finally got the solution that I learned to deal with, because I was looking for a solution to my problem. Other than the obvious one that most people choose. I'm telling you, I stayed celibate. The way I did that was never put myself in a position where I was alone with ladies in any way, nor in a place where I viewed them in a wrong light. Did you get that? And believe me, in church today, just because women are in church, don't make them saved. I've seen the devil walking around in miniskirts before. Especially when I was having problems. I've had ladies invite me home for dinner and apple pie, and I found out they thought I was the dessert. So it goes both ways. But the way I looked at it, in the end, was very simply, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, would you ever consider your sister or your brother? What do they call that in the world today? I will not be a partaker in incest. And I finally came to a place where I dealt with it in a way that made sense to me, that it revolted me, the very thought of doing those kind of actions in the family I live in today. And then I could talk to ladies. And then I could talk to people. And then I could go both sides and talk to everybody. Because I had learned to deal with it. Because I love God more than I love the sin nature that was in me. I found a solution. And you've got to find yours. And that solution is to love God with your everything. And make Him number one in your life. You remember the study from yesterday. I'm telling you. You're never going to make it until you learn to keep your pants on. Because you're going to learn to sin a little bit, and then you're going to learn to sin a lot. It is step upon step upon step until you totally blow it all. Amen? I'm almost done. In verse 17 it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." What does that mean? You're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve God, but you aren't going to serve both. Sin leads to death. God leads to everlasting life. "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, you now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." What does that mean? You present yourself to God every day and ask Him, "What do you want me to do today, God?" And whatever He wants you to do, you take your self-will out of it and you do what He wants you to do. Because the way you are built is to be a slave to something. Amen? "For when you are slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. When I sinned large. Before I met God, I didn't care about nothing. Nobody. Never. Didn't care. Too stinking bad. Work it out." Right? "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." They are. The things I used to do was bringing myself to the pit day by day, closer and closer. "For now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. You must be in Christ to get past those things of sin. And I'm going to end with this. You know, people, I don't get to do what I want to do. You wouldn't like me if I did what I wanted to do. I was very good at excelling and being hated by whole towns. If I was to go back to some towns I used to live in, to this day, they would hardly believe who I am, but they would certainly remember who I was. When I tell you whole towns hated me, I mean I used to get out, try to drive around the block, and get stopped a couple times by a police officer. They checked my registration, they checked to make sure I had an insurance card, they checked to make sure I brushed my teeth that day. Get up close, look me in the eyes to see if I was on anything. Are you hearing me? But today, do you know I know some of the greatest men and women of God personally? That today, I am even known in the church world to some degree. And what has happened is, the one that used to do those things is dead. And the one that God has touched and brought to life lives in Christ. You see, people, you are going to be the slave of somebody. Something. But whose slave are you going to be? If I did what I wanted to do, I certainly wouldn't be here this summer. I probably wouldn't be here this winter. As a matter of fact, I'm sure I wouldn't be here at all. This is not my idea of how I plan my life. To deal with people that mostly, at first, want to just stab me anyway. They certainly don't like anything I have to say. The back of my neck crawls daily. Why? Because people speaking sweet nothings about me all day. I could certainly live my life without being reviled. But you see, I know the truth, and that's what I'm trying to give you today. Is that you are going to be somebody's slave. You're going to be the devil, or you're going to be God. And if you're going to be a slave to righteousness instead of a slave to sin, then you've got to willingly give yourself to God and the things of God. And when you do that, you're going to be okay because He's going to guide and direct your path. But oh no, the day you decide to hop out the car, here comes the bumps and the lumps again. Here comes the crash again. Here comes the I-me-ism one more time. And the life that goes along with it. Isn't it much better just to suck it up and to have a good life than to do what you want and destroy the very life that He gave you? To me, anymore, I sit there and laugh at my feeble little mind when it starts to wander. Dominic, go buy a motorcycle. It's springtime. You get it? Well, what do you do in the springtime on a motorcycle? You run amok. I've had enough of that in my life. I'm well practiced in stupid attacks. I've done everything wrong. Isn't it time I learned to do things right? Isn't it better that people hate me for the right reasons now instead of the wrong ones? You see, there's people in the church body today that really don't like to hear my teaching and my preaching. Do you know why? Because I don't care if they're a pastor. I don't care if they say they've been saved 20 years. And I don't care if maybe they are the leader in a great church. Wrong is wrong. And right is right. And I know all about wrong. But for the rest of my life, I'm going to live for right. I can take it. If I can have whole towns hate me for a good reason, I can have a few people that don't like me for a great reason. You know what? The Bible says that those people that you used to run with will no longer understand you because you won't do the things you used to do no more. They're going to come up and say, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you want to do this?" Don't listen to them. Listen to God. Listen to Jesus. Do right instead of wrong. And someday, because of your changed life, maybe they will change your life too. There's a big heaven up there. It's not going to be nearly full as hell. But it's going to be a lot better than hell. And I'm here to tell you that the only hope in my family is that I keep my life on track. Not anybody in my family yet has gotten saved. Amen? The only hope for the people I love and care about is me being an example of a godly person instead of the ungodly person that I was. And today, people, I want you to recognize that the truth is you are going to be a slave to something. But the question is, whose slave are you going to be? Do you want to do what you want to do? You have the right to go to hell. Amen? But God don't send you to hell. You pick your path that takes you to hell. You get it? In this class, in this place, people learn right and they learn wrong. What you do with your life is up to you. But what you do with your eternity is chosen by what life you choose today. People, make the right choices and go where God would have you to be. Quit making your own choices. Let God choose your life so that you'll have a good life from now on. Read your Bible. God can use anybody. Anybody. Why? Because the new creation is His. And He can mold it any way He wants as long as that person is willing. Be willing to be used. Amen? Father, I love You today, God. Let it be this day that each of us just give our lives wholly over to You, Lord. Today, God, this day, I ask You especially that You touch us, that You make us whole. And above all, God, that we learn to listen to Your voice and Yours alone in our life, God, that we put out those other spirits we've been carrying all these years, the spirit of self, the spirit of me, the spirit of I, and the spirit of the Antichrist, and learn to listen solely to the spirit of You. In Jesus' name, I pray, and everyone said,